Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who's out on a little Thanksgiving break. He's the type of guy who eats for an entire week straight. And that doesn't just eat on Thanksgiving. He's just eating himself into oblivion right now. So much eating, he can't speak. He doesn't have enough separation in the time to speak and do a show. So he's going to be eating this week. He'll be back next week. On the show today, we talk about the vote and where it stands right now. The very strange developments in the Trump legal team. We'll go through some of that today. The threatening of your Thanksgiving from the COVID lords who are telling you you're not allowed to meet your family. We'll go through that. Andrew Cuomo has an Emmy he's winning. Colin Kaepernick. I mean, really just a long list of things that annoyed me today, Pat. I know. I noticed. Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Cuomo. I don't know that there's a better combination for my blood pressure to go up. Yeah. But that's on the show today. We also talk about Thanksgiving as it comes near. Of course, great addition to your Thanksgiving, scrumptiouscookie.com, I would say, is a great place to go for that. And you can subscribe to Pat Gray Unleashed on YouTube and on the podcast, as well as Stu Does America. I encourage you to do both. You're on podcast right now. Hey, click on over. Subscribe to that. Subscribe to Pat Gray Unleashed, Stu Does America. And we even got a quick Jeffy mention in. Don't forget to subscribe to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher as well on podcast. Now, take in a wonderful three-hour program where we just lose our minds over Andrew Cuomo and Colin Kaepernick over and over again.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Sidney Powell, no longer with the Trump legal team. Although, was she ever with the Trump legal team? There seems to be some dispute over
no
that.
No one knows.
No one knows. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently she wasn't getting paid by the Trump legal team. She seemed to be representing the Trump legal team.
The Trump legal team did say she was part of the Trump legal team several
and so
times.
The president, President Trump said that himself.
And the RNC.
On November 14th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so everybody said, yeah, she's the head of the Trump legal team.
Did she just wander in? Is that what happened?
Yes. Like, I guess anybody can just go in and start speaking for the Trump legal team. It's kind of cool.
It is a very strange development. Obviously, there's been reporting of infighting behind the scenes, and that seems to be that Giuliani won the battle. I guess whatever power struggle was going on seems to be won by Giuliani. I don't know if that's exactly right, but that seems to be what the reporting is indicating. Either that or Sidney Powell was just like, she was getting coffee down the hall and wandered into the press conference. They just let her talk. I don't know.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Over and over again. It's a very strange development.
It is weird. It is weird. And from what I read, there seems to be some contention over the Dominion vote switching machines, too. Whether or not that actually happened.
Right, right. Yeah.
They have not presented it in court.
No. Now, this is what
I don't know why.
We've been talking about this. Well, because I don't think they have evidence to prove it in court, at least out of this time.
She strongly says they do.
You mean this woman who's not part of the legal team says she?
Yes.
We had her on the show. She's trying to present a case. It seems to be that she's presenting a case that has no end game in court. Right, like she's talking about it as a lawyer in public, but is not talking about it in court. Now, I keep coming back to the same thing. We don't have to litigate or understand their evidence. It is not our job as citizens, as broadcasters, as people who are just trying to know the truth to be able to decipher this stuff, because this will be an issue that is fought in court. It's not an issue that is, you don't overturn elections on social media. That is not how this occurs.
Why? Didn't the founders intend Twitter to decide these things?
Well, they actually, in the Constitution, it says MySpace, but they were just they were a little off on their timing. MySpace didn't work out. So, you know, this stuff, it's like, it's just a bunch of talking points for people to discuss on conservative media as to whether these things have truth or not, or to share them on Facebook and everyone throws their opinion in there. What happens in reality when it comes to the campaign is what happens in court. And they have, you're right, not filed anything to do with the Dominion voting machines in court because they don't have evidence that would hold up in court, at least that they've revealed to anyone, including, by the way, many high-ranking officials in the Trump administration who are telling people all over the place as much as they can, she's given us no evidence of this.
And as I was saying on my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, which immediately precedes this.
I love that show. It's so good. The
people are just raving about it. Mm-hmm. Raving about
no need of a recount on that one, Pat.
No. Mm-hmm. But they had me last week, as I think you know.
Yes.
For about 15 minutes, she had me. Mm-hmm. She had me. I was kind of thought, okay, you don't present this strong a case to the American people if you don't have something, right? No. Wrong, apparently. I don't know. Maybe you do. But I was swayed for a while by what she was saying, that she had evidence that 7 million votes were overturned. Well, and then you got nothing? It's very strange.
Right. Well, what very we said strange. At the time was, if you go out and say these types of things without evidence, you're going to look like an idiot. Yeah. Right? You're going to be looked, you're going to be.
And it's going to hurt your career.
Right. And I mean, here we are. 3 or 4 days later, and she's no longer on the legal team. Or, I mean, maybe she never was, but she's not on it now. We know that.
Right.
And the thing I think that's appealing about the Dominion case over some of the stuff that Giuliani was talking about that has, I think, real, some of it has credibility. I mean, you know, that when you're talking about not necessarily overturning elections, but election fraud, and that is important. I mean, you go after that when you could find it. Mm-hmm. The thing about what was appealing to a lot of people about the Sidney Powell angle is, she presented something that, if true, could sway the election. The stuff that Giuliani was talking about has a lot more likelihood of being true, but also a lot less likelihood of overturning the election. When you talk about there's 20,000 votes here that shouldn't have been counted, well, that might actually be true, right?
Yeah.
But it's not
going to overturn the election.
With Sidney Powell, I mean, Sidney Powell is basically out there saying that Trump won in a landslide. And so you would need something that systemic to overturn an election like this.
Well, we heard that. We heard that she said he won in a landslide. And then who was it that kind of repeated that theory and took it a little bit further by saying Trump actually won 410 electoral votes? Jeez. Wow. Including, I think they said, including California.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a massive victory for the president.
When these things happen and the stakes are this high, it's impossible to know what to trust.
Yeah.
Right. But what you can know, right, is we have a Republican candidate who has basically unlimited resources to fight these things. He can hire any lawyer that he wants. And those lawyers can bring to court cases that they believe will overturn votes. If they're not doing that, there's a reason for it. If they're not bringing this echelon case, there's a reason for it. Now, there's another possibility you could argue, I think, here, which is one of the issues the Trump legal campaign has had is standing in these cases. Sometimes when you say, like, you know, you need to have legal standing to bring these cases in front of the court.
Right.
And if Sidney Powell is the campaign attorney, there might be an argument for some of these cases that it's not the Trump campaign that was wronged, but maybe a particular voter. Maybe they're trying to come up with a legal separation so they can file a case a certain way. Again, I'm pretty skeptical on all of this stuff. I think that's the best way to start. And I keep saying to people, there's no reason for us to plan for a new Trump presidency, right? Like, let's just say Trump wins and they overturn this and he wins. Well, that's easy, right? We can all sit here and say, okay, our republic might be safe for the next 4 years, whatever you think on that issue, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to plan for good news. I'm worried that, like, right now we're doing nothing to prepare for a Biden presidency when we keep talking constantly about this, right? Like for example, you know,
what you'll hear is
a chief of staff
don't
was
give
named,
up, right, keep the faith, all
I understand
those
that.
Things.
And, but like, again, our faith has little to do with the elections.
Well, it has
here.
Nothing to do with it.
Right. It happens in court. The attorneys will go to court and file these things. And what will happen in court will happen.
That's what I keep
and
doing.
And we will be completely separate to it.
I have no say in this.
We have no say in it.
None.
We had our say on election day, right? That was our role here. And if this is going to change, it's going to be in the courts. As Rudy Giuliani talked about as former or maybe never a campaign attorney. Sidney Powell has talked about this is a legal, as Jenna Ellis has talked about, this is a legal procedure at this point. So we don't have any role in that part. What we do have a role in is looking at what could happen down the future or in the future. I mean, you know, Biden has named a chief of staff, a secretary of state. It looks like, you know, you haven't seen the typical conservative reaction to those things because no one's looking at it. You know, he Biden, in a way, in a weird way, if you're a Biden administration, and once again, this is working in his favor as he's coming into potentially coming into office here. He is getting no scrutiny on any of these picks, on any of these developments, because there's a large portion of people that are, you know, Sidney Powell, who are just saying like, oh, well, we're going to win, so don't worry about it. And it's like, well, we do have to worry about it, because if Trump comes back and wins, that's easy. There's no need for us to be worried about that scenario. That's an easy one. Like, we just continue as we are. But if Biden comes in and he has no scrutiny on any of this stuff, who's going to point it out? You think ABC News tomorrow is going to do a deep dive into the new Secretary of State pick for Joe Biden? That's not going to happen.
No.
If we don't do it, no one's going to do it.
Right. And 73 million people are just all counting on Sidney Powell right now.
Right. And except that, and one of the people who isn't is Donald Trump, apparently.
Right.
After all of this.
Who just said goodbye to her. They are distancing themselves from her.
Yes.
There is talk that the rest of his legal team doesn't buy into the Dominion switching thing. That it didn't happen. So if you've got the Trump legal team kind of split on that issue, that's not a good sign, probably.
No, it probably isn't.
It's probably not a good sign.
No, it's tough. It's a tough one to decipher because you have an impossible situation. Because, I mean, let's go to the extreme here, and let's say they find evidence that 10 million votes were cast and switched, right? They come up with the evidence, it's proven, and, you know, they overturn the results. We're at a point where we almost don't have a republic. Like, a republic is not, you don't have a legitimate republic if you have the possibility of 10 million votes being switched.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We basically don't have a country at that point, and we're starting from scratch. Because obviously we all know, I mean, look, the most minor thing, you know, Aunt Jemima leaves their logo on the box and the left will riot. You can't, they do that every 10 seconds. Of course they would riot, but they would riot for any reason. But like when you go to the point of like, think about the possibility of that world where we find out 10 million votes have been switched. We have absolutely no system of government. We are completely a fraudulent nation at that point, you know, and it's tough to even know whether that's something you want to argue for, because honestly, like if it's true, I want it out 100%. And we have to deal with the consequences of that. But gosh, that's a scary reality. If the reality is we can have a presidential election where 10 million votes have been switched.
Yeah.
And no one picks this up. We are in a totally different world than we imagine we are. And
no,
it's not a positive one.
Yeah, no question. Well, and she said that that's what those machines were created to do.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange that we then ordered them here in the United States of America.
Right.
And look, give us the ones where you can switch the votes that people make. Okay, let's buy those.
Well, yeah.
That's not a good idea.
A lot of Republicans in on that one, too. And it's just such a strange, you know. And we know, the one thing we do know is in Georgia, right? Georgia, because people had questions about these digital voting situations, Republicans pushed hard for paper records of each vote. Yeah. So you go in there, you cast your vote. It spits out a paper ballot that then you as a voter look at and say, yes, that says Trump. Right. Then you slide it through the machine that gets confirmed and then that gets stored away. So if they want to do a separate paper recount, they can. So they went through that and the paper recount, with the exception of about 1,000 votes across the entire state, matched up pretty much exactly. I mean, it was 1,100 or 900 votes. And that was picked up in one of their re-canvas operations. Bottom line is that at least there, those machines seem to operate successfully. Doesn't mean that they did that everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an indication. And those are, again, Republican, like hardcore Trump supporters pushed those changes through in a good way. I mean, it's I think it's a good thing that we have those backups. I'm actually surprised sometimes at how many backups we have in this situation.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot there, actually.
I didn't know we had that many systems.
Yeah.
That many backup systems.
Right.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen elections overturned recently. There was one in North Carolina just a couple of years ago that was overturned because of election fraud. It does happen. It does.
It's just never happened on a national scale.
Not a scale like this.
Right.
I mean, as Tucker Carlson pointed out correctly, this would be the biggest crime in American history.
No question. Yeah.
So you gotta have evidence of that. And, you know, I think what the Trump legal team is saying, Sidney Powell is not presenting evidence of this. They're not comfortable with it. And if they're not comfortable with it, we shouldn't be comfortable with it.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right. Andrew Cuomo, one of the greatest governors in the history of our nation. Am I right,
no,
Stu?
Am I not right? I will not play along with this. That is how he is promoted, though.
Oh, and he promotes himself that way. He wrote a book about his response to COVID-19 where he killed thousands of people.
Infuriating. And we don't know, by the way, how many thousands he's killed because he will not release the numbers of how many people died in nursing homes.
Jeez.
Which is an incredible thing. And it is unique in the nation. There's a lot of left-wing governors out there who are honest about how many people have died in their states. Some people who even adopted some of the same crappy policies as Cuomo, but at least they're telling you how many people died in their nursing homes.
He won't even do that,
which is an incredible thing. I mean, you know, and then the work to make it even worse, he uses the lower numbers that he has from nursing home deaths because he does not reveal the actual total. And then he uses that as a defense for the way he handled it. So, I mean, this is not conservative. This is all known. Like, the Associated Press has confirmed this is the only state in the country doing this. Basically, what they're doing is saying, if you die in a nursing home, they count it as a nursing home death. If you're in a nursing home and you get really sick and you start coughing and you're about to die and they bring the ambulance to the hospital, bring the patient to the hospital in the ambulance, and then they die in the hospital, Andrew Cuomo isn't counting that as a nursing home death. Now, obviously, that's ridiculous, right? It's a nursing home resident who may have died in an ambulance on the way to the hospital seconds after leaving the nursing home. And he's like, that's not a nursing home death. They weren't inside the nursing home when they died. So the estimates are that it's about 100% more deaths in nursing homes, about double the amount, at least, in nursing homes than he's actually disclosing. And because he has this number that is half of the reality, he's able to say, well, my rate is lower than 30 other states. It's only lower than 30 other states because you're lying about the amount, which is not a conservative point. It is not something that we dug up at the Blaze. This is something that is absolutely confirmed by the Associated Press and many other fact checkers. Everybody on the left even acknowledges this is true. And then he uses that lie to defend his handling of coronavirus. It is incomprehensible that he's not called out on this more often.
And yet, the man won an Emmy Award for his COVID press conferences. Here's a New Yorker reacting to that victory.
So I just got home, but while I was out tonight, I heard that Cuomo got an International Emmy Award for his COVID and how he handled it. Are you getting an award for mass murdering the elderly? Huh? What are you going to do, a dance when you get your Emmy, huh? Like Springtime Hitler? Did you ever watch that musical, Springtime with Hitler? Is that the name of it? You sick, demented, evil piece of shit you are. You can actually go up there and stand on stage and get an award for that? Mass murdering of the elderly. Everyone that lost a parent or a grandparent, you really need to speak out now. You really do. You really need to come out and fight against this mother that he is. Time. Now is the time, New York. Speak up. Don't let this commie accept this award, and Emmy should pay too.
So she's a fan. She's clearly a fan.
Huge supporter of Cuomo, I got from that.
Yeah.
It's
she likes him as much as you do, I think.
Maybe even a little more.
Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe even a little more. It's infuriating. I mean, I will say, if he's going to win an award for basically acting mm-hmm. might be the award for him to win. Because that is what those press conferences were. They were a television show where he lied. It was a fictional television show.
And most New Yorkers bought it, because do you remember what his approval rating was during that time? It's like 82%.
Yeah. And look, people tend to coalesce around a public figure
during times of emergency.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we saw that with even with Trump, but we've seen it all over the world with leaders who have looked at, mm-hmm. when the coronavirus was at its peak, people, you know, they huddle in and they kind of like look for somebody to make them feel better. And that's a lot. You know, Cuomo did that. You know, that was what he did. And we covered this. I covered this in a column for the New York Post. Also, you know, did a long thread of this on Twitter. You can get it at Stu Does America if you want to check it out. But the bottom line was, people remember him making them feel better because he was telling them nothing was happening. He was telling them it was okay to go on subways. He was telling them that it was not a big deal. More people were dying from the flu. He was saying that people were, you know, that we've dealt with much worse pandemics than this, much worse viruses.
Yeah.
And like, okay, end of the day, you know, and he told them over and over again up until the 19th of March
that
we're not going to close anything down.
Yeah, I'll never forget what he did, the press conference, and he was talking about the very successful New York businessman.
Oh, his friend.
Good friend of his.
His mythical buddy.
Yeah, his mm-hmm. buddy who's a big business guy was very afraid because he was here and we're gonna close down the city. We're going to close down businesses. And the guy was freaking out about it. And Cuomo told him, don't worry about it. I'd have to do that. And I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You know when that happened?
I'd have to do it.
That press conference happened on March 19th.
Right.
On March 20th, he closed down the city.
I mean, that's just incredible.
Literally the day before. It's because he's a massive liar. Jeez. And the only thing he cares about is himself.
Right.
He is completely obsessed with Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo mm-hmm. is obsessed with Andrew Cuomo. And that is why he actually okayed the selling of a poster where he bragged about all of the wonderful things he did with coronavirus and sold it on a New York government website where they drew cartoons of him driving his Camaro mm-hmm. around. And Donald Trump was up on the moon. He was sitting on the moon in this poster. And of course, in denial. You know, he's in denial, Pat. And you know what he was saying? This is just like the flu. Andrew Cuomo actually said that exact thing. He said it. He said less people were dying of coronavirus than the flu. He was doing all of the things that people criticized Donald Trump on. And remember this, if you remember nothing else, that Donald Trump did his big speech that we all remember, 15 days to stop the spread. That was March 16th. He waited until multiple days after that to close down New York City, where all the action was happening with coronavirus. You know, the idea that Cheyenne, Wyoming needed to close down in March was ridiculous. It didn't need to, right? But New York City is a totally different world. And while Donald Trump was saying, hey, we got to stop 15 days, let's all hunker down and see what we can do here to knock this down a notch, mm-hmm. Andrew Cuomo was still, you know what he did? He cut gathering limits. That day, the same day that Trump said, hey, we're going to shut the whole economy down. Andrew Cuomo cut down gatherings to 5 times the national guidelines. So he said, hey, you know what? We got to cut gatherings to 50 on March 16th in New York.
Jeez.
Like, he was way behind Trump on all of this stuff. And the fact that he let the virus ravage his community so thoroughly and then switched sides completely and started basically welding people in their apartments, he was able to maintain a low rate for a few months. And then that creates a book. It creates the poster sales. It creates fawning media tours. He was wrong on this every step of the way. And his handling of this was disastrous. And basically, I want to drop as many F-bombs as that lady just did. That's how pissed off it makes me, because he gets credit from the media for this. He gets credit and this adoration from both New York and national media, because you know what the truth is? A lot of the media people were sitting there in their homes watching those press conferences terrified, and he made them feel better for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. When he shouldn't, when he shouldn't have been, when the right message was don't go on subways, he was saying go on subways. When the right message was don't go to the Chinese fair that's going, the Chinese New Year celebration,
he
was
said saying to go. Yeah.
And now
just
he's
like
telling
Pelosi
you,
was doing in San Francisco.
Right. And now when we know more about the virus, when we're able to, you know, handle these things a little bit more sensibly, and we're allowed to do things in ways that are, we know how to protect ourselves a little bit better. Now he's saying, don't see any of your family members. Now he's saying, you know what? I can certainly go out without a mask on. I can certainly go to, you know, Gavin Newsom going to his fancy dinners. I can certainly go to the funerals for John Lewis if I'm a Democrat. That's certainly okay. Of course, that's okay. But you're nothing. You're a giant zilch in the society. You don't matter. Therefore, you can't do those things. You know what should happen here is I should be able to do all these things and you shouldn't, because I'm more important than you.
It's incredible how virtually every one of these ham-fisted leaders, these leaders that are oppressing their own people in these various jurisdictions, they're all the ones who are doing whatever mm-hmm. they want.
Yep.
Lori Lightfoot in Chicago doing the hairdressing thing because she cares about her hygiene. Like, you little people don't, but I care about my hygiene, and it's important that I have good hygiene. So I'm going to get my hair done.
I'm going to retweet this. There's a thread from Carol Markowitz, who's from the New York Post, and she has just put together all of the hypocrisy from these leaders.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to retweet this right now at Stu Does America. So you get to see. It's a building list. She started it in August. And it's just been building and building and building. All of these,
but there's a ton.
Oh, there's plenty of them. It's worth doing, and worth reading through, because it builds all the time. People who are hypocritical. Yeah. We say this in New York. I mean, think about this: 300,000 kids in New York City are home from school because they came up with this ridiculous percentage of positive tests, 3% across the city. And as soon as we hit that number, we're going to close down all the schools. Well, the United States as a whole has never, not for a day since this began, been below 3%. Never been below 5% as a country. Mm. Now, New York City has for a couple of months here had that claim, which is, you know, wonderful, although there's reasons for it that are deeply, they were deeply scarred by this. I know people in New York. We know a lot of people up in New York. Mm-hmm. These people were deeply scarred by how horrible it was when Cuomo was telling them to go on subways and the virus was running rampant through society.
Yep.
So they are much more cautious than you'll see in other places. When people from New York leave New York, they are hyper terrified of this. So that's what happens. It's not mandates. It's not a governor picking rules. It's people, when you get deeply scarred by this, when every night for a month and a half, all you hear outside of your apartment building are ambulances going by because it's the only cars on the road for a month. That's a scarring experience. It wasn't like that in Texas, but it was like that in New York. So they're much more careful. And these things, you know, are you can keep the virus levels down. They tick above 3%. They close all these schools down. These families are scrambling last minute to try to figure this out. Scientist after scientist after scientist, including Dr. Fauci, is saying don't close the schools. And yet they close the schools.
Yeah. And Fauci is saying don't lock down.
Don't lock down. Don't close the schools. Burks is saying don't lock down. Don't close the schools. Mm-hmm. These are not like concern. This is not Dr. Atlas.
Right.
These are people who the left has told us are the only people you can trust. And now the New York City, New York State is doing this all over again. And they will continue to do it because
it's going to kill New York.
If
New York hasn't already been killed, this will kill it.
And think of the incentive structure for Cuomo here. The guy just released a book about how brilliant he was. He can't have an increase.
Yeah.
He's going to do every dumb lockdown thing he can to try. He doesn't care about the economy. He just has to keep those numbers down. And he's doing it. He's squashing the entire state for his own book sales.
It's amazing.
He is the worst. And unfortunately, they can't bleep me live, or I would express in different ways how bad he is.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
You have Disney Plus? You watch it much with the
I
kids?
I do have it. I got it basically for The Mandalorian.
That's what I did.
But
And that's about all it's good for. Even though The Mandalorian's just kind of, it's okay.
Yeah, I haven't really fallen in love with it. I can't seem to get over the hump of getting into it.
Yeah, it's not the greatest show ever done. It's not the worst either.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not bad. It's not sucking me in. I'm the type of person that goes to all the Star Wars movies at the theater.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like an obsessive about it, but I do like to see them all in the theater. And this has been okay. It's just been okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I think they need more original programming on Disney Plus. It seems to be what's lacking for adults. I mean, you got all the commercial, you got all the movies for the kids, and you have the Marvel stuff and the Star Wars stuff.
But, so you want Disney Plus to carry adult movies?
Yes, adult movies.
Really? That just seems like it doesn't seem into character with you at all. Like I feel like you'd be the type of person who would say, "Don't watch adult movies," but you want Disney to create and carry adult movies. That's the pack.
They
right
just
guarantee.
Did come out with the statement that they're not opposed to doing R-rated material on Disney Plus. Wait, aren't you Disney?
Don't they have like ties to Hulu and all these other services too?
Yeah,
why don't they just put it on there?
You could. Right.
It's such a weird thing. They just are trying so hard to make Disney this like edgy product. It's like, make it a happy product.
Yeah,
you just create it. They've had other brands this whole time, that they've been able to put, you know, whatever other material they want on there. They just can't keep the Disney thing pure. They just can't do it. They can't bring themselves
to
it.
And they need to. It should be. I mean, Walt Disney, I think he'd have a little bit of an issue with what's going on at Disney. But also, Gina Carano, one of the stars of The Mandalorian, she sparked outrage last week when she posted messages on social media. Get this. Here was her egregious sin. I don't know why she's not in prison. I really don't. She mocked wearing a mask.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they want her fired now. And she should.
That's it? Just fired?
Yeah, well, they want her fired. I want her in prison. I don't even want her to have a trial. I want her to go directly to prison. It could be Rikers Island. It could be Leavenworth. But it's got to be a federal prison. So incredible. She tweeted out a meme that said, "Breaking news. Democratic government leaders now recommend we all wear blindfolds along with masks so we can't see what's really going on." How dare she?
How dare she?
Oh, my.
You're not allowed to have that opinion.
No, you're not.
You're not allowed to say those types of things.
No, you're not.
At least maintain your employment.
Have you switched over to Parler yet? Or do you have a Parler account?
I think I have the account. I've never actually done anything with it.
Yeah.
Have you been on it at all?
I'm just about to start down that territory.
I know. It's a big thing. And I like the idea of having a place where they're not going to be censoring you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, what I want to do, and I have a different view on, like, you know, there are people, you're like, you should delete your Twitter, get off Twitter. What if we delete and get off of all of them? You know, that's
I want to
be what
that.
I want to be is Pat Gray.
Yes.
I aspire to be Pat Gray on social media, which is to things happen on your social media accounts. I see it all the time.
Right.
You just don't know that they're happening.
I don't know.
And that's the world
that's
I want.
Very true.
And so I don't see how it's brought anything of
my wife was
society.
Saying, "I thought you were going to post something about our cookies on your Instagram account." I said, "Instagram? I mean, I know I have one, but I've never been there. So maybe somebody did, maybe they didn't. I don't know."
By the way, it's scrumptiouscookie.com. We should.
By the way, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the best cookie in the world.
And I'm ordering some for my Thanksgiving, which I am actually going to be holding, even though Andrew Cuomo says not.
Yeah, but just you and your immediate family who lives at your house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I'm going to be seeing other people.
Murderer.
And we're going to do our best to make sure we don't kill each other.
Murderer.
But if we kill each other, if we do, at least the last thing we do is eat scrumptiouscookie.com. So that'll
be good.
That's
not a bad thing.
That's going to be good.
That's not a bad thing.
But it is that weird constant pressure to, every time someone says something that is right-leaning, to act as if they must be ostracized from society. And it's funny because this is it's like this cancel culture thing is a new thing to most people. It's not new to us. We've been going through this for a
long
million
time.
Years. I remember the first left-wing media watchdog posts about things that we said. And, you know, this is back in, gosh, it's got to be, when was that? 2004? Three? It's a long time ago. I feel like it was Iraq War related, one of the first ones for some reason. And we were talking about it, and then, like, we had a guest on or something that, how dare this guest go on this Glenn Beck? Who is this Glenn Beck guy? Hmm. And we're sitting here going like, what is this? Are people really upset that we're having it? I thought we were all supposed to have conversations with people, and like, we're not going to shame someone out of existence because as a guest showed up on a show to give us their viewpoint. And that's when, you know, a lot of that stuff started with talk radio. This is the social media cancel culture thing is just a accelerated view of what used to happen to us every time we said anything on talk radio. Right. I'm so used to it and so bored with being threatened of my job and my livelihood. It doesn't even register with me anymore. Mm-hmm. But that's not normal. You know, I mean, a lot of this stuff targets regular people who are not in the media, who have not had to deal with this for a long time, who are not public figures.
And they're not used to it. So they cave into it.
They're terrified.
Yeah.
They're terrified by it.
Yeah.
You know, like you work at a restaurant and you post something on your social media feed that seems friendly to a conservative cause, and you get berated out of society for it, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to, you can't sell pizza anymore.
I mean, how amazing would that be? And it could happen for this Mandalorian actress to lose her job on Mandalorian because she said something negative about mask wearing. Mm-hmm. How ridiculous is that? Really? That inane a comment could actually lose somebody their livelihood?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's not about amazing. Mask wearing, right? It's about Democrat versus Republican, left versus right.
Yes.
I mean, if you go back to March, what you would find is you could probably go back and find this stuff on Twitter. You'd find conservatives posting memes about, why don't we just open the economy and wear masks? And you'd find liberals attacking them and saying, how dare you? The CDC is telling us not to wear masks. And the same sort of threats would be made about people's livelihoods and everything else.
Yep.
This is so, I mean, the tribal thing is so overplayed at this point. I mean, people have been saying, oh, this is too tribal for so long. It's almost not even a point to be made, but it's so true. The left will attack anybody. They were in front of Congress. They were writing letters about how bad Dominion voting systems were like a year ago.
Yeah.
And the reason they were saying it, which is hilarious, is because a venture capital firm bought Dominion. And those are venture capital. They're evil capitalists. And they probably will try to fix votes against Republicans. And here we are. Now, I don't think, again, we'll see what happens with the claims on this stuff, obviously. But didn't plan out for anything for the left. Right. If anything, we've seen the claims go the opposite way. And now it's crazy to bring anything up. Dominion is basically God. If they are basically, they are unfallible. You should never question them. It's you're a heathen if you do. And that is, it's so ridiculous how predictable this stuff gets. You know what the left is going to say every time a new subject comes up, and they will reverse themselves completely in a matter of weeks and just act as if the old position didn't exist. And everyone's like, are we just supposed to forget that you guys just spent 4 years saying the president was not legitimate?
Unbelievable.
Are we really just supposed to like ignore that occurred? Now, I don't know that the right reaction is to now say everything else that ever happens in an election that Republicans lose is illegitimate. I don't think that's a good response to it. But the bottom line is they were saying all of these things very, very recently. In fact, they were warning. Hillary Clinton was saying, don't accept the results.
Yeah. Yeah, but how old were you early in 2020? I mean,
or mid or late
or
2020
mid, or late.
How old were you then? I don't even remember those times.
I don't think I was born.